Amen. That's why we're here, and we thank God for His great name. Galatians chapter 5 in your Bibles, the book of Galatians chapter number 5. And it is an honor to be here at Ambassador Baptist College once again. I thank you, Brother Beal, for the opportunity to be here. And I love you. Thank God for you and your ministry. Looking forward to having you in our church in a few weeks for revival. And we're excited about that. I am thrilled to have my dad with me. My great-grandfather was a circuit-riding preacher in western Pennsylvania. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor for over 50 years. He's with the Lord. My dad now has been in the ministry for about 50 years. And I pastor in North Carolina. My brother Jonathan pastors in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. My other brother James is a second man with my dad. My sister Sheila is married to a pastor in Cranberry Township. My sister Sonia is married to Tommy Dallas, who graduated from here. And he pastors in Brownsville, Pennsylvania. But the best preacher in the whole family is my mom. And she preaches the most, I think. But I have been so blessed by a rich heritage, and I'm so grateful to God. I was wrestling with what to preach. I think every preacher understands that. And I had another message in mind. And our church, I'm preaching through the fruit of the Spirit. And yesterday we preached on joy, and I've just had this in my heart. And I came in here, and I found out from the girls that you all are in the middle of midterms, and I thought, what a perfect message. How many of you are just thrilled? I mean, you have the joy of the Lord that you're going through midterms right now. Would you raise your hand? All right, y'all line. We're going to have an altar call right now. But I hope this message will encourage you. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. I tell you what, let's read it out loud if you don't mind. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Ready, set, go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And it'd be a little different message. A lot of times I like to preach an expository message and exegete a passage. Just want to be a little more topical, but I want to preach on that word joy. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and then joy. And this morning I want to preach on this subject. I have the joy, joy, joy. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you. I thank you for your love for me. And I only love you because you first love me. I thank you for your agape love, your unconditional, selfless love. And Lord, I pray even on this day that I be filled with the Spirit of God and that the fruit of the Spirit would be agape love in my life. But I pray also that you would produce joy in my life. And Father, I pray even right now that you'd forgive me of my sin, cleanse my heart, fill me with the Spirit of God. And Lord, speak to all of us. It's been a hard year for all of us, a challenging year, a difficult year. And I pray, Lord, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength as a child of God. Please speak to hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The fullness of the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. And so it is one fruit. It's a singular noun, fruit, and a singular verb. So it's one fruit with nine different graces. If you can imagine in your mind, here's one fruit and it has nine clusters. So there's one fruit with nine graces or nine qualities of the Spirit of God in your life. And so if I ask you this morning, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, how do I answer that, preacher? The answer to that is, are these nine graces exhibited in your life? Do you have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance in your life? Because if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God produces these nine graces in my life. Maybe I should ask your roommate if you are filled with the Spirit of God. Because your roommate can tell you, can tell me better than probably you can, if you have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and so forth in your life. And so what I'm saying this morning is, when I'm filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit produces love in my life, agape love. I have a selfless love. I have an unconditional love. I have a divine love in my life. He produces that in my life. But also, when I'm filled with the Spirit of God, He produces joy in my life. I love to ride on the church bus with the children, and one of my favorite songs to sing is, I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. And I really like the second verse. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack, and you jump up in off the bus seat. But I have the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. I want to ask you this morning, do you have the joy, joy, joy down in your heart? The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. I have the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. I want to ask you, in the middle of midterms, do you have the joy, joy, joy down in your heart? Joy is one of the great themes of the Bible. I think it's sad that many people view God as a killjoy. And I believe as I read my Bible that nothing can be further from the truth. I believe I can prove that. The words joy or joyful occur 250 times in the Word of God. The word rejoice occurs 200 times in the Word of God. You add those together, joy or joyful or rejoice, they appear 450 times in the Word of God. I think the point is this, God wants His children to have joy in their lives. There are several different Hebrew words for joy. One word for joy means bright and shining. It's like a bride coming down the aisle on her wedding day. And I've officiated many weddings through the years, and there's nothing quite as bright and shining as a bride walking down the aisle on her wedding day. That's a Hebrew word, joy, a bright and a shining countenance. There's another word for joy, Hebrew word, and it means leaping or jumping. And although this passage is in the New Testament, I think it's a good illustration of that word. Remember when Peter healed that man? And the Bible says he went walking and leaping and praising God. That's the word joy. And so the Hebrew word joy means bright and shining, like a woman coming down the aisle on her wedding day. It means leaping or jumping around. A third Hebrew word for joy means shouting or exuberant expression. And so when you put them all together, bright and shining, like a girl coming down the aisle on her wedding day, and then shouting or exuberant expression, and then leaping or jumping. My point is this, I believe when you put them all together, God wants His children to have joy, joy, joy down in their heart. Now there's one Greek word for joy, and it's not the joy that comes from earthly things or even cheap thrills. In fact, it's interesting, if you study the root word of the word joy in the Greek, it's very similar to the root word grace. They're connected. And I believe that the point is this, that grace is God's unmerited favor toward us. The only reason we're going to heaven is because of the grace of God, right? It's His unmerited favor toward us. And because of His grace, because of His unmerited favor toward us, I can have joy, joy, joy down in my heart. They're connected. The grace of God helps me to have the joy of the Lord in my life. And so you put these four words together, and I find that joy is exuberant expression. It's shouting. It is leaping, and it is jumping around, and it is bright and shining, and it is connected to the grace of God. Again, I want to just make this point. I believe God wants His children to have joy. He's not a killjoy. He is holy. He is just. He is righteous. And He is always right. But He wants His children to have joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. They're different. Happiness depends upon what happens in your life. Joy does not depend upon external circumstances. They're different. Happiness happens. It depends upon what happens in your life. For instance, for me, I'm a North Carolina fan. When North Carolina wins a ball game, I am happy. For the deal, when Duke beats them, I'm not happy. But I can still have joy, even when a devil beats a Tar Heel. When I eat a juicy cheeseburger, can I get a witness for a cheeseburger? How many of you love a good, juicy cheeseburger? Man, double hands, right? And you put some ketchup on that rascal, and you put a little mustard on that. For me, put a little mayonnaise on that. Absolutely no onions. How many onion people do we have here? Again, we have an old-fashioned order for you all. No onions on that thing. I eat a juicy cheeseburger, man, my tongue slaps my brain high five. It makes me happy because happiness is based upon what happens in my life. But even if I eat broccoli, I can still have joy because joy is not the same as happiness. Now, I'm not happy when I eat broccoli. I want to tell you that. But I can still have joy. Happiness may be I caught this fish or I shot this buck or my team won a ball game or I bought a new dress or I bought a new car or my car didn't break down. Happiness depends upon what happens in your life. Joy does not depend upon that. Joy is not dependent upon external circumstances. I like what someone said. Joy is an inside job. It's an inside job. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness, and it's interesting, God never commands us in the Bible to be happy. Happiness is always a byproduct. When you do this, happy are ye if you do this. That's what Jesus would say. It's a byproduct, but the Bible doesn't say, be ye happy. But the Bible does command us to be joyful, does it not? I think about Paul there in prison to Philippi, writing that letter to Philippi. And he says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let me put my version on that. Rejoice in the Lord even in midterms. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice when you're not going through midterms. No, rejoice evermore. It's a command from God because it's an inside job. And when I yield my life to the Holy Spirit of God and He fills me, He produces the joy of the Lord in my life. It's amazing about joy because I can have joy in my heart even when things don't go well. I can have joy even when my car breaks down. I can have joy no matter who wins the election. Brother Beal is going to be with us that week. Our church is having 30 days of praying for upcoming, leading up to the election, but also our fall revival. And we have taken 30 people in our church who are praying, every one of them on a certain day for 30 days, just bathing God for revival for our church, but also as we lead to our election. And obviously, I want a certain outcome, not just on the federal level, but on the state level, on the local level, on the executive, on the judicial, on the legislative branches. I want a certain way, and I'm praying for that. But no matter what happens on November 4th, I can still have the joy of the Lord in my life because ultimately the Lord is still on His throne. Happiness depends upon what happens. Joy is not based upon external circumstances. One of the paradoxes of the Bible is you can have joy even if you're going through suffering or persecution. I mean, you might be going through a Greek midterm and still have joy. That's real suffering, isn't it? I think of Paul and Silas. That's the biblical example. Once again in Philippi, Acts chapter 16, they've been beaten, they've been flogged. They've been cast into prison. Their feet have been placed in the inner stocks. As I read and study that, they would spread the man's legs out as far as they could and then put them in the stocks. And you can just imagine the pain and the suffering. And what were they doing? Bemoaning? Were they whining? Were they complaining? Were they bitter against God? No, the Bible says they were singing praises unto God so loudly that the whole prison heard them. The prisoners heard them. My point is this. Happiness depends upon what happens in your life, but you can have joy even in jail. And Paul and Silas proved that, don't they? Joy does not come from money. How many would like to have more than you have? I would too. But that's happiness, but joy doesn't come from money. Joy doesn't even come from chocolate or sweet foods. How many of you like chocolate? How many like white chocolate better? How many like regular chocolate? How many of you like dark chocolate the best? Good night. My wife does too. It's a little too bitter for me, man. I just give me that regular Hershey candy bar. And when I eat that Hershey candy bar, that Twix or that Snickers or my dad's favorite Reese cups, it brings me happiness for a minute, but it can't bring me joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit based upon nothing else in my life. It's an inside job. And Acts 13:52 says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And I think if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be filled with joy because it is a fruit of the Spirit. Now I want to give you this morning three reasons why a believer can be filled with joy. And I'd like for you to write them down. In the midst of midterms week, three reasons why you can be filled with joy. Number one, salvation brings joy. Salvation brings joy. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is love and then joy. As I study my Bible, I find the Bible describes salvation in joyful terms often, and I love that. Many of the parables Jesus gave, salvation is explained and described in joyful terms. I think of 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You remember that time when the Lord sent out his 70 disciples and he had them evangelizing the area? And they came back and man, they were filled with joy. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Do you remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20? Jesus said, notwithstanding, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. And I want to tell you this morning, if you are not filled with joy, that should cause you to rejoice, to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know if God puts it under your last name, Bixler, or under the first name, Joel, but I know as a 5-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and my name is written there on those pages, white and fair. And I thank God, no matter what is going on externally in my life, that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. My name is written in heaven. I'm not going to hell. My sins are forgiven, and that should cause all of us to have something to rejoice in. I'm going to see Jesus one day. And it could be today. I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. I'm going to see my loved ones again one day. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord. And I thank God, God doesn't have an eraser on his pencil. Once he puts my name in that book, it is there for all of eternity. I'm going to be eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that should cause us to rejoice even in the midst of midterms. You remember when Philip led that Ethiopian eunuch to Christ? What doth hinder me to be baptized? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, thou mayest. Oh, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they both went down the water. Baptism's always after salvation, and baptism's always by immersion. We see that in that story. And the Bible says that that man went his way rejoicing. Acts 8:39. And I want to tell you, if you're saved, you should have something in your heart that's just bubbling over, because you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Salvation brings joy. Aren't you glad this morning that you cannot lose your salvation? You can't lose it because you didn't earn it. It's a gift from God, isn't it? But look here, you cannot lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy of your salvation. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba, and he said in Psalm 51 and verse 12, restore unto me my salvation. No, in fact, he didn't even call it my salvation. He called it thy salvation. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what I've learned? Sin and joy cannot abide in the same heart. Sin is like a vacuum cleaner. It robs you. It sucks the joy right out of your life. And maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I just don't have the joy bells ringing in my heart. I know I'm saved. And you need to pray, oh God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And maybe it's because there's some sin down in the depths of your heart, some secret sin that only you and God know. And you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, forgive me of that sin, because it's robbing you of your joy in your life. Number one, salvation brings joy. Would you write this down? Number two, service brings joy. That's the second reason why I can rejoice as a child of God. Service brings joy. There's joy in serving Jesus. I think about the good pastor there in Canada years ago, Oswald J. Smith. He wrote these words. There is joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills my heart with praises every hour and every day. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon His power, there is joy, joy that never shall depart. Boy, there's joy in serving Jesus. Dr. Spencer was our interim pastor and held our church together. I thank God for him. And he was asking me a minute ago how long I've been the pastor. And I just passed 13 years being the pastor of our church. I can't believe it. And I want to say this. I'm more excited about preaching and pastoring and serving God right now than I was 13 years ago or 20 years ago when I was in Bible college. I want to say to you young people, the greatest thing you can do with your life is give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is joy in serving Jesus. Remember what Psalm 100 says? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His sheep and the people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I want to say I learned as a child that joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And I've learned this as a pastor. The most joyful people in my church are those who serve the Lord faithfully. And the most miserable people in my church are those who serve themselves faithfully. Well, no one shook my hand today. I know we're going under COVID, you know. No one came by and visited me. I tell you, you say I, me, and my too often, you're going to be a miserable wretch. But you have Jesus where He ought to be, and you put others where they ought to be, and you deny yourself, the joy bells begin to bubble up in your life. Again, one of the great paradoxes of the Christian life is that you can be enduring suffering and persecution and still have joy. I don't have time to expound upon that, but you see that all through the Word of God, especially Peter's epistles. It's just amazing. There's suffering and yet there's joy. Suffering and joy. I read last week, I love to read Baptist history and about martyrdom and so forth. And I read last week where these archaeologists uncovered this letter from this martyr right before he died. He wrote this letter, just basically a diary. And here's what he said right before he died. I quote him. He wrote these words: "In a dark hole, I have found cheerfulness. In a place of bitterness and death, I have found rest. Who would believe that in a state of misery, I have had great pleasure? That in a lonely corner, I have had glorious company? And in the hardest bonds, perfect repose? All these things Jesus granted me. Jesus is with me. Jesus comforts me. Jesus fills me with joy. He drives bitterness from me and fills me with strength and consolation." I want to ask you this morning, how does a man who's about to die in a dark hole say these words? I have cheerfulness. I have gladness. I have joy. I tell you how, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, He produces joy in your life. And there's joy in serving Jesus, even if it means God calling you home through martyrdom. And so number one, salvation brings joy. Number two, service brings joy. Would you write this down? Number three, soul winning brings joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And by soul winning, he that win his souls is wise. Leading another person to Jesus Christ brings great joy in your life. Let me give you a Bible on it. Philippians 4:1, Paul writing to those believers in Philippi said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, listen, my joy and my crown." He said to the believers in 1 Thessalonians, to those Thessalonian believers in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And my personal favorite, Psalm 126 and verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I tell you, there's nothing like taking a Bible and explaining the gospel to a lost sinner and hearing that lost sinner call upon the name of the Lord and trust Christ as his Savior. Man, that brings joy in your life. I've had the privilege to lead my children to Christ, and those are some of the most joyful days in all my life. Some of you have something great to look forward there to lead your children to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to talk about great joy. But really, anytime you lead any person to Christ, it brings great joy. By the way, Luke 15:7 says, Jesus said this, I'm quoting the Lord, that there is, I use his words, great joy in heaven every time a sinner repents, right? More than 99 that don't need repentance. Every time a lost sinner trusts Christ as Savior, there's great joy in heaven. And I want to say this, I think we should get excited about what heaven gets excited about. Great joy when a lost sinner gets saved. And there's just something contagious about a Spirit-filled believer who's filled with joy. One man said it this way. I think this is a great quote. Maybe we want to write this down. Joy is the seasoning that tickles the taste buds of the unsaved. Let me say that again. Joy is the seasoning that tickles the taste buds of the unsaved. I'll put it in my English. Brother Hank, you said that Walmart's hiring. And so let's say you get a job at Walmart and you go in there and you have your knuckles dragging on the ground. I know you don't have a mother-in-law, most of you yet, but you look like you just kissed your mother-in-law. And I tell you, that's not a pleasant thing. And you're whining about midterms and have a bad attitude about life. And you're working with a lost man. That's a pretty sorry billboard for the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? But on the other hand, if you've had a rough day and you go into work and you're working with a lost man and you want to say, he says, you how'd your day go? And you say, it's been pretty rough. I broke down. My girlfriend dumped me. The teacher failed me. It's been a pretty rough day. But I want to tell you, I know the Lord is my Savior and God is good. And I know God's going to bring something good out of this life. And they're going to say, man, something. There's going to be some taste buds there that says, I want what that guy has. I always tell our church this, if you're saved, tell your face about it. People come into church. Good night. Are you a child of God or not? We should have the joy bells ringing in our lives. And when we do, I think the lost is going to say, man, there's something to that. The most joyful people in this area should be those in this room because we know Christ is Savior. And joy is not just a silly grin, but I believe the joy of the Lord on the inside will show up on the outside. Psalm 90 verse 17 says, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. The joy of the Lord should come forth on the outside. I was reading this morning early on in my quiet time, Exodus chapter 33, where Moses went to be with the Lord 40 days. Remember that story? What a story. He's in the presence of God Almighty for 40 days and 40 nights. He comes down off the mountain and I thought about it with COVID. They had to put a mask on him. And it's kind of interesting, Brother Beal. When he got to talk to God, he didn't have to wear the mask. But when he talked to people, he had to wear the mask. I thought, man, this thing's like thousands of years old, you know? But don't miss my point. When he came out of the presence of God, his face was shining. And it was shining so brightly, the people couldn't even see him. If your face isn't shining, I mean symbolically speaking, if there isn't some kind of joy in your life, that tells me somebody may not have been in the presence of God. Because you get in the Word of God every morning, you have your quiet time with the Lord, and you pray, and you remember the grace of God. Remember, grace and joy are connected. You remember the grace of God, and you marvel that He would save a wretched sinner like you, a worm like you. And you think about how good He's been in your life, and out of all the people in the world, He would call you to serve God. And out of all the people in the world, He would allow you to be in a great Bible college like this. And out of all the people in the world, He would allow you to be under the influence of Dr. Beal and teachers and professors that love God. And you say, wow, praise His holy name. You come out of the presence of God, there should be something showing on your face. I understand some people just are more naturally smiling than others. My dad and I were talking about this coming down. My mom, she goes to sleep with a smile on her face. You ever meet people like that? I mean, she just smiles all the time. It's natural. And some people smile more than others. And I understand that. But I want to say, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is going to come in your life. And it should show up a little on your countenance. And when it does, especially when you're around lost people, they're going to say, that guy has something I don't have. I have been reading a book about the Waldensians and Peter Waldo and just tracing them. And actually, we were having, we're reading the book in our family devotions. And I have three children, 15, 12, and 8. And we're reading about the disgusting things that really the Catholic Church was doing to the Waldensians. They're in Italy and even in some of France, but they would take their children right in front of their parents' eyes and they would literally rip the arm off of the child. Rip the leg off of the child. And my 12-year-old said, Dad, did they really do things like that? And I said, they really did. But I said, here's the amazing thing. The more they were persecuted, the more the gospel seemed to spread. Because when lost people see a believer suffering, and yet that believer still has the joy of the Lord in their life, they say, that guy has something I don't have, and I need to get that. And boy, that gives us a golden opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying the joy of the Lord on the inside should bubble up and overflow on the outside. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have the joy bells ringing in your heart? Do you have the joy bells showing up on your face? I like to always ask questions at the end of a message, and I like to ask you these just provocative ones to get us to think about. Number one, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, right now. By the way, that's not just for me, Ephesians 5:18. That's for every believer, is it not? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Preacher, how can I know that? All right, number two. Are you filled with joy right now? I'm not asking happiness. Are you filled with joy? Do you have the joy down in your heart? Third question would be this. Do you regularly rejoice in your salvation? Every day when I begin my quiet time with the Lord, I always begin this. And I don't believe it's vain repetition, but I always try to remind myself. I always begin, Lord, thank you so much for saving me. Because the longer I'm saved, the more I don't want to forget where I got saved from. That keeps the joy of the Lord in my life. The fourth question, do you serve the Lord with joy? I met a lot of people that serve God. I don't know if I'd say they serve with joy. Paul said in Acts 20:24 that he said that I might finish my course with what? Joy. And I don't want to just finish this thing called the ministry. I want to finish it with a smile on my face and the joy of the Lord and a bounce in my step. And my fifth question, I think, is the most important one. Are you attracting lost people to the gospel? I mean, your testimony, the joy in your life. Are you tantalizing their taste buds to say, that guy has something I don't have? That gal has something I don't have, and I like to have it. And boy, wouldn't it be great then if you could take the Bible and lead them to Jesus Christ and be able to be rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord that you place within our hearts when we are yielded to your Spirit. It's our strength. As a believer, it helps us to keep on keeping on. Lord, you say in your word that we are to count it all joy even when we go through trials. And so, Lord, even this week, with the challenges thereof, I pray the joy of the Lord would be our strength. Lord, I pray you'd use this message, help us to be filled with thy Spirit, and we pray that you'd produce joy so much so that others would see Christ in our lives. Please work in our hearts during the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.